Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you to the British lady, and we are on the air tonight. This is Dr. John Stamey, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and this is the Vulnerability Podcast, and it's an exciting time to be online. We are on broadcasting this live on Easter Sunday, 2021, but people can, of course, listen to it forever. It will be archived. And here are our co-hosts. First of all, from Arizona, Tori. How are you doing tonight, Tori?
I'm great. How are you?
I am good. What did you do on Easter today? That's our first question.
I did a whole lot of spring cleaning and helping some friends move in. So it's been great.
Well, that's great. Did you have a good time with them?
We did. We had a great time. We had a great time. Spent a lot of time today on gratitude, so that's good.
Well, wonderful. We're glad. First of all, we're glad to have you here, and we're glad you had a good time on Easter. And now, from up in New England, I guess he's up in New England right now. I don't know. I hadn't asked him. Matt, how are you doing?
John, I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. It's a pleasure to be here again this evening. So thank you, John.
Yeah, I was going to say, what did you do today?
Yeah, my holiday was great. And I sort of second the notion that Tori put forth about the importance of gratitude. And that's one thing that I really felt a lot today. And for me, I started my day on Clubhouse, which is something we had talked about last week on this podcast,
right.
And I was able to connect with hundreds of people on Clubhouse today, and I had some really new, wonderful connections form, and for that, I'm tremendously grateful. I then ended up going out to the beach. I was out at the beach for about 2 hours today. It was 62 degrees. I had mentioned last week I live part year in Florida, so down there it would probably be like the coldest day of the year, but 62 up here has been like a thaw out for me. So it's been a real blessing. And I did a Facebook Live for my Vulnerability School project on Facebook. And now I get to have the blessing to be with you, John, as well as Tori this evening. So I'm feeling fired up. I'm excited to be here. And I'm thankful to the both of you.
Well, thanks a lot. As I told you a little earlier this evening, I said, you know, maybe I'm a trained researcher. And that's what I did for, well, I still do it, except that most of my research now is in the paranormal field. But I still do some what people would call regular old research into different topics. And I thought to myself, you know, what is this vulnerability thing? Just what is it? So I did some research. I found some articles. I read them. And I began to get an idea of what is out there that has been written about. But I wanted to start off the show tonight. I want to ask, ladies first, what is vulnerability? What does that mean to you and consequently to us in the Vulnerability is Cool project? So what is vulnerability for you, Tori?
Vulnerability to me is it's being open and taking a risk, being prepared to expose a weakness that you might have or a trauma or a wound, being willing to do that in the interest of forming deeper connections with people. And that's what we're trying to do with the Vulnerability is Cool group. That's one of the main benefits that I've seen from my life and my involvement in it. In ways that it has helped me is to make some really powerful connections in my life with other people who might have similar interests and similar experiences where we can all help each other understand ourselves a little bit better. And yeah, it's being willing to be vulnerable or expose yourself in some way in order to make deeper connections. That's how I would put it.
That's great. I was typing that in because you have three or four really good ideas in there, and we'll be expounding on them here just shortly. So, Matt, how do you define vulnerability?
Well, first off, I want to say, Tori, I love your explanation, and it certainly was very insightful, I'm sure, to all of the listeners as well as to myself. And I think for me, vulnerability is about kind of, expanding upon what Tori had said. It's really doing something that's really uncomfortable. It's taking that stretch and expressing whatever it is that you want to express, whether it's a trauma you've endured in your life, and you need to tell your friends in hopes of not only getting it off of your chest, but in hopes of actually broadening the scope of that relationship. Because the level of connection we have with someone grows when we are able to be more of our true selves. And we're able to be more of our true selves when we express every aspect of who we are. That's obviously the way you reach the highest level of vulnerability. But it could be things like going out and taking a stretch into a new job, or telling someone that you have feelings for, that you really love them, or you want to date them. It's taking anxiety, taking fear, and putting yourself out there. Anytime you do that, you are vulnerable. And to me, that is what vulnerability at its essence truly is.
Okay. Those are two great definitions. They sound similar to what I came up with, because I start looking at research articles, and I try to see, well, what have other people said about it? And perhaps maybe we've got a different take on it. But here's what I found, and it was really kind of interesting. It seems like there are two kinds of vulnerabilities. One is emotional, and suppose you recognize you're in a tumultuous relationship and you understand that there is some vulnerability there on either side, or your side, or the other person's side. And then there's physical vulnerability, like living at the base of a dam and there are a lot of earthquakes around. Now, that's physical vulnerability. And I believe, from what I understand that comes across in the literature, is that you're not vulnerable until you understand that you are. It requires that you recognize something before it happens. So that's one point. Now, one modification that both of you made is that it's an expression of vulnerability. So I think expression is an important part of it, and that's what we are trying to do here. I mean, once you feel that you are vulnerable, there are two ways to approach it. One is you can make an immediate change, because you're going to have to adjust. And it's like, I sell life insurance. Yes, I sell life insurance. And I tell people they better have some life insurance when they pass away, because the rest of the family is going to have to make a severe and quick adjustment because they're not around. And then there's something called adaptation, and that is understanding the situation, understanding the vulnerability that's come to pass, and making long-term changes. So one thing that I learned from from several research articles in psychology is that we're looking at, you've got to recognize an adjustment. You've got to recognize the vulnerability, and then you have to adjust to it when it happens, and then you have to adapt to it long term. So it's kind of a three-step process. Now, what do you all think? Do you think a three-step process accurately defines what a vulnerability is? Is recognizing a vulnerability, you've got to take some immediate action, and then adapting to it long term. Does that make sense? I want to throw that out for discussion.
I completely and unequivocally concur with that notion. And I think a lot of it is subjective in nature. Because as you were saying, you have to really feel that. You have to really embrace that. And I think it's the same thing as it relates to any anxiety. Privately, Tori and I were having a discussion, I think, about a week ago. And we were talking about certain things we'd be fearful of. And she was saying that she'd have no problem going skydiving, for example. Whereas I would be like, there's no way I would be willing to skydive. Whereas I have no problem going into the ocean. And Tori was like, I don't want to go to the ocean. You know, I don't want to go in the ocean whatsoever. So for me, skydiving would be extremely, extremely anxiety-provoking and to an extent would be a vulnerable situation for me, whereas Tori would be the complete 180. So I think when we look at it from that perspective, what we deem as vulnerable are massively different. So I think you absolutely have to have that underlying component in which it is an anxiety-provoking or an emotionally-provoking situation for it to actually be deemed as vulnerable within that person.
Okay.
Yeah, I would absolutely agree. I definitely agree. Because things that are scary for one person aren't scary for another person necessarily, and if it's not scary for you, then it's not necessarily exposing a vulnerability. There's not as much courage involved, you know, and I feel like that's a huge component of vulnerability also, is having some sort of fear about something and then pushing past that to something important and build closer relationships with people. And there's definitely the action component is really important because you have to actually take steps to do it, not just think about it or, you know, it all kind of breaks down.
So it seems what you're saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like this little three-step model is, it might work. First of all, recognize the vulnerability. You've got to recognize it for you. Matt, you're not, you know, you would have a huge problem with skydiving. Tori, you would have a huge time going into the ocean. Those are personal things that you have, each one of you has recognized that are vulnerabilities. And if you had to do it, well, you'd have to make some immediate changes. I know I would go take some skydiving lessons if I really had to do it. I would prepare myself as much as I could, and then I would make sure that I don't have to do it in the future. So there's our three-step little model of recognize, adjust, and adapt. I just wanted to, once we understand what we're talking about, I think it gets easier. That's been my experience as a researcher. Once we understand it, once we understand the model, then it's a lot easier to work with it. At least I hope it is. And what all this is going to lead to is going to be a little research paper that I'll put out for people to read and see what they think. I want to get people's input. I learned a whole lot from the two of you in just the first 10 minutes of the show. I mean, it was great. Understanding, you know, once, and I believe that I was correct, once you recognize it, you have to adjust immediately. I mean, you got to make a change, probably. And I think the model that I was talking about, like a breakup, or you understand that you and the person you were with are not getting along, and maybe you're the first person to realize it, maybe you're not, but at least you recognized it, so you've got to adjust, you've got to go ahead and accept it, or make an immediate change, and then adapt yourself. If you broke up, then you're going to have to adapt and figure out how to meet someone else and go along that train of thought, or you have to understand how to change it and make sure that a breakup doesn't happen. So that was, I guess that was my model. I was thinking of something a little more, you know, a little more severe, but it seems like this works. Now, I mean, I think enough is enough. I think we've talked about this a lot, and 15 minutes is a lot of time really to spend on developing a model. But I will come up with something else, and I will send it to the two of you and let you read it, so that we can discuss it a little more next time. And also, if anybody else has some ideas, let us know. And by the way, now I just noticed we have, let me let them get on here. We have a brand new caller from area code 212575. Who's calling into the show?
Hey, how are you? I'm Francisco. I am in New York.
Well, good to
have
you.
I am walking. I'm hearing by the headphones. So I'm outside walking, hearing. Nice about this vulnerability thing. We all have, it's like, I think for me it's like a very organic process. We're not like a robot that we find something and we change and that's it. I think it keeps growing and keeps changing with the age, with the seasons, with relationships, with the people that you know, with the challenge that we have. It's a very, very organic process. And maybe the only thing that I get from that is that we have to be kind with each other because we're all very vulnerable in our own ways. Thank you.
Okay, well, we certainly are. I mean, I agree. It's a process. You've got to learn how to handle it. And I think once we identify what that process is, you know, what are the components of it, then we can understand it better. At least that's my idea. Matt and Tori, what other comments do you have? And to close out this section, and then we'll hit another topic. Matt, you and I were talking that idea about the impact. And then so would the two of you like to close this portion of the comments about it? And then I'll do some thinking, and I'll talk with both of you this week, and we'll see how it goes.
Yes, John, thank you for all of those thoughts and for allowing a guest speaker to come on as well. I have a couple of thoughts. Number one, I think it's similar to, because at the underlying essence, again, as I said, it's a lot about fear and anxiety. And something that's been shown in research to reduce levels of anxiety or fears in certain contexts is through exposure. So I think one thing that we try to push people to do in Vulnerability is Cool is put yourself out there. Put yourself out there. So when you can create a post, then it becomes a little bit more desensitized. That fear numbs out a little bit. And now we see people posting pictures. And then those pictures become videos. And then those videos become even more vulnerable. And I can tell you that I followed that path too. And now, again, I'm leading a group of nearly 1,000 people with connecting people from 62 different countries. The notion I would have done this a while back would have been unfathomable. So I think the more that you keep doing something that is hard or scary for you, and the more that you're vulnerable, the less – eventually almost gets to a point where it's no longer vulnerable because it's just natural for you. And – one thing, too. So Francisco is actually part of our Vulnerability School. I really want to thank Francisco for his vulnerability and deciding to give us a call and being on air tonight. So thank you so much, Francisco. And I definitely value him and his presence in our group. So thank you so very much. And I just want to say as well, I'm actually doing sort of like a leadership group for healing and whatnot, and Francisco is actually my partner on this. So I really want to thank Francisco for, again, his presence in that as well. So thank you, Francisco, for tuning in tonight.
Hello, thank you. Thank you, guys, for this space for learning.
I think that's what we're all about, is learning about this and becoming better. Do you agree with that, Tori?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say, to Matt's point, that you know, you get more used to it over time. You really do. And it's sort of a practice makes perfect kind of situation. And it becomes easier over time. And the more you do it, the more natural it feels. And, I mean, it's really enriched my life in a lot of countless ways to just be vulnerable with the people around me and the people that are close to me, and in some cases even posts on Facebook. But, you know, because we do a lot of that. I do participate in the posts and things, but I also have found myself being more vulnerable with the people in my life, in my immediate circle. And it really has changed things for the better. And like Matt said, you really do get more used to it, and it gets easier every time you do it. And you can go farther and reveal more truths. And then what you end up finding out is we're all so much the same, and it's really amazing and beautiful.
Yes, we are. We're all the same.
So just to add real quickly, I completely agree with that, Bori, and I think that's a key component of why we started Vulnerability School, and that's something that we alluded to last week, that when you change how you interact in social media, that reverberates through every aspect of your life. So that's why it's so important to create a realness that's a lot of times absent online, because once you are able to be more authentic and real online, that will transcend in every aspect of your life. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, and I guess one way to put it is that sharing is the therapy that we promote. We promote sharing of these vulnerabilities. And social media is the medium in which we share. Does that sound right?
Absolutely. It's absolutely and unquestionably an extension of ourselves. And if we have an extension of ourselves that's so devoid of the humanness of our experience, well, we become really cold in that media, and I think that trickles down into other parts of our life.
Absolutely. Now, Matt, I think I mentioned to you the word empath, because, and Tori, I believe it actually came from a post that you made. Do you remember that? And I think I'm correct. Now, I could be wrong. But didn't you make a post about being an empath?
Yes, I did.
Do you mind sharing a little bit of your thoughts about that? Because I thought that was really, really interesting. You know, from the guy that that hosts Scarycast, I was thrilled with that comment.
Mm-hmm. Well, I posted about so the question had been, what's your favorite thing about, do you identify with being an empath? And if so, like, what's your favorite thing about it? And what is the most difficult thing about it? And so for me, I felt like one of my favorite things about it is being able to identify and understand what another person is feeling, so that you can, I guess, be able to have a better connection with them. You can understand what they're feeling even more so than what they're telling you. And so sometimes there's a whole lot of our communication that's not just verbal. And so there's body language also, but there's also, if you have that particular ability, you can feel what someone else is feeling. Like, you can almost even sometimes take on an attitude or a personality trait for a minute that tells you, okay, wait a second, something's happening here. That's not me. I'm picking that up from them. And then start to understand how they're feeling, maybe what the mood that they're in, even if they're not presenting it directly. You can still kind of feel it that way. That's my experience. And then where the difficulties come in is, for me, when I'm in a crowded place with a lot of people, I can get overwhelmed with the amount of energy coming at me all at once from all of the different people, and it can sort of feel like I'm having a low blood sugar reaction, and physically like have cold sweats and feel very faint and have to sit down and rest for a minute and try to block it out. So it can be a little bit jarring in that way.
Absolutely, it can. Those are some very good comments. Matt, how would you like to comment on this particular topic?
Yes, thank you, John. Just to clarify, so Invulnerability is cool. I go live nearly every day. And in my Facebook Live, I task everyone, or I suggest a topic based on that day, and then people can choose to either partake or not partake, and then they can choose the method in which they decide to express it. And a couple of days ago, we were asking those in the community, do you self-identify as an empath? And as Tori outlined, the pros and the cons based on your own self-assessment of being an empath. And then on that that post, we actually provided a link from Healthline, healthlane.com, and it's 15 signs you might be an empath. And many of the underlying elements of being an empath, many of which came back to high sensitivity, hyperstimulation. And I think what I was sort of equivocating it to is just actually having a really, really high-functioning brain. Like, you almost are able to, on a sensory level, perceive things that the average human being just can't perceive. So you're hyper-aware of everything in the environment, every sound, every smell, every person, as Tori was beautifully indicating that you can actually almost sense people's energies, emotions just by looking at them. You might just have these intuitive feelings based on how they might be feeling. That can be overwhelming. And I can personally tell you that I also self-identify as an empath, and it can be overwhelming. And that's kind of what I'll say on that. And so I think the pros for me is just the fact that you're able to feel and sense things on a much greater level, but the cons are there's definite drawbacks to that. So I think largely I second pretty much everything that Tori says.
Okay, now what do you think are some of the cons? What are some of the problems that this generates?
Interesting. So I think that so I'm also a PTSD survivor. I don't think I mentioned that last week. And I don't know how much of being an empath comes as a result of going through, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder and then sort of healing through that process. Or, you know, you might be an empath, and then if you experience various traumas, maybe you're more susceptible to, you know, post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if it's like the chicken or the egg. But I think in either scenario, the symptoms can be very similar. So I think for me, I know, for example, I'm very, very high intelligence. When I was 4 years old, I knew every U.S. president in order, years there in office, et cetera, literally. I knew I could do, like, my multiplication tables at the age of four easily. But what I'm saying is that, like, I need almost a perfect environment to really operate. So every sound, every smell bothers me. Like, if my olfactory sense gets thrown off, then I just lose my ability to focus and to get whatever I'm trying to get done. So... and that gets annoying. And I think the thing that's hard, too, is that other people who do not identify as an empath, they just think that, like, I'm a prima donna, really. But honestly, it just sort of throws off your nervous system in ways that you just can't function. And that's really, it's really stressful.
Okay, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that about you. Another key to vulnerability is exposing things about yourself. That's very interesting. Now, our guest, and I'm sorry, I don't remember your name. I have terrible short-term memory, so please forgive me. Our guest, do you have anything that you'd like to add to this conversation? I mean, it's really very interesting.
Hey, thank you. Yeah, my name is Francisco.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Francisco. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, San Francisco, the biggest city is San Francisco. So anyway, for me, in this topic, and it covers, I'm going to be a little bit out, putting something I am working on being integrated and not isolate myself. So we see all these skills, we come on with our vulnerability, makes us more part of a group or separate us from the group. One of my biggest tasks right now is integrated to everything and integrate the part of me that I don't even know I have. So I am also a very highly sensitive person. Like when I see the grass, I see like 7 different colors of greens. And I come from a country that the air is very, very pure. So I can smell if the air comes from the Amazon or from the beach. But I was far from both sides. So being sensitive has not been easy. And I am the youngest of 10 brothers, 5 sisters and 5 brothers. So they were not very welcoming that part of me. But I feel like I isolate myself. And sometimes I deny those to comment, because it's hard to be commenting that things look so great or different. So my process is to integrate with the community, not to separate, because I have more vulnerability or I have more sensitivity. So in the Native American traditions, we have a few ceremonies to integrate and to let our emotions and our things go by. Like, basically, the biggest thing is, like, don't take too serious. Even if it is serious, even if it's real, it keeps moving, and that helps you to integrate with the rest. I don't know if I am myself clear, but that is what I want to express. Thank you.
Okay. Oh, and Matt, to respond to something you said, something I didn't know about you is you had PTSD. I don't know if I mentioned this to you folks or not, but 5 weeks ago, I had a stroke, and I was in the hospital. And everything was fine. I got out in less than 48 hours. Then all of a sudden, I couldn't think. I couldn't remember things. And it's getting better now. But it's like, so far, I don't think I have misrepresented or forgotten 2 things tonight on our podcast, which is kind of a victory for me. But, you know, it's like, I know last week on a podcast, it was like, I couldn't remember the name of our guest, and I've known her for 10 years. It was horrible. And a good friend of mine said, John, it's Jen. You remember? Okay, yeah. So it was great. But, you know, it is refreshing that you can state weaknesses without fear of people coming at you. So, yeah, we've all got them. So I think that's just really good.
Absolutely, John, and I'm grateful that you expressed that as well, and that is not something I was aware of previously. And for me, I know that that was something that I hid for a long time. There was profound shame. I know last week we were talking about how men in society, you know, are less likely to have a proclivity toward being a little more emotional, to be a bit more vulnerable. I think it's harder in society for men and for younger men, too, amongst their own social circle to stand up and say, hey, you know, I'm dealing with PTSD. And it took a long time on my journey to really fully embrace that and be comfortable with it. And I think for me, even though I created this space to provide a platform for other people, what it's actually done for me is it's actually provided me a voice provide me an opportunity to also express myself and share my story with so many people. So that's been kind of an understated blessing in this entire process.
Well, yeah, so it's inadvertently helped you to the max. It really has.
Absolutely. I mean, I went on there today and I expressed something profoundly vulnerable, I think, for me. And I told people, hey, you know, holidays, for example, have historically been really hard for me. You know, I lost my mom about 8 years ago. She had a long battle with MS. And I've had a lot of familial dramas and relationships that haven't been as ideal as I would like them to be. And I think sometimes that holidays are a reminder of all that. But one thing that I saw this year was that thanks to this group and all the connections that I've made, I woke up this morning, I had dozens of messages from people all over this world telling me how much they're grateful for what we do, that they wanted to wish me a happy holiday. And, you know, it's just a reminder that our family might be blood, the family that we grew into, but the fact is, family does not have to be just exclusively that. What we have online through Vulnerability School is our family, and we have a beautiful family, and from the bottom of my heart, I am truly, truly grateful and blessed for everyone who's a part of that group.
You know, I had a friend of mine today, and in fact, I made a comment to you. I guess I don't care who hears this. My family didn't call today. I haven't seen my family in 4 years. Some things happened, and I chose not to. And he told me something interesting. He said, "Well, your spirit." He said, "Well, I've called you three times today. I'm really part of your family. I'm part of your spiritual family." And I thought, "Yeah, you know, I've got a list of about five or six people that have called me multiple times today, and not that we don't do it anyway, but that's really part of my spiritual family, and I don't have to worry about my physical family. That, you know, they're taking care of themselves, I guess." So, you know, it's just it is interesting. We tend to associate ourselves with people that we want to be part of our family, and I think that's what you've done. And now, Tori, do you agree or disagree? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that families can be difficult, and we have to honor ourselves and be true to what feels right for us. And choosing to be with your spiritual family oftentimes can be more rewarding, especially if the people in your biological family maybe aren't really putting in the effort to have a reciprocal kind of relationship with you. So, yeah, I think that sometimes those spiritual relationship can just be a lot more rewarding because it's all choice, you know, it's based on choice. It's a loving choice every day to still be a part of their lives or not and them with you. There's no obligation there. And that sort of creates an unconditional circumstance that can make you feel a lot more accepted and truly loved and appreciated for exactly who you are and not who somebody else believes you to be or has a history of you know, seeing you as in a different way maybe as you're growing through your life and changing, whereas the people that are your spiritual family kind of know you as is today and accept you for who you are and, you know, love you for everything that you're embodying today and everything that you're trying to become. And it's a lot more rewarding. A lot more of a rewarding relationship, and we get to choose that. We get to choose who is in our lives. And I think that's one of the greatest blessings that we have in life, is being able to make those kinds of choices and let them fill you up rather than drag you down, because that's what family should be. That's my 2 cents.
Oh, that's your $2 million. That's the truth. You know, let them build you up. That's what your spiritual family is for. I love your remark. Families can be difficult. That's so funny. I almost burst out laughing when you said it. It's the truth. But that's okay. It's all good, and we're all excited about being together. Matt, I'm gonna look to you, because we talked about John's definition, and I've been able to modify it with some of the things you had. We've talked about being an empath, which is really kind of a lot of fun. When I said, you know, as the guy that runs ScaryCast, we talk about psychic ability, premonitions, and everything like that. I spent 3 years as a research associate at the Ryan Institute of Parapsychology in Durham while I was getting my doctorate at NC State. And it was amazing the experiments that I saw performed and what people can really do with their minds. It's an amazing thing. And I think we just need to realize that our minds have ultimately so much power. They do, and we have to trust our minds and trust our instincts, because that's all we've got, is to trust ourselves. And I think that's one thing that people need to understand, is trust your instincts, trust what you really believe, because that's all you've got to trust. Do you think I'm right on that one?
Precisely, John, absolutely. And I wholeheartedly agree with what Tori had mentioned too. And I think there's actually a silver lining behind almost being separate from your family. Because I'll tell you right now, I used to always feel so kind of jealous and a lot of pain every time I looked around my peers and they had their intact families. And I'll tell you, as I'm getting older and older, and I'm 28 now, I look around and they're like having asked, you know, mommy and daddy, like, can I go out? Can I do this? Can I do that? They're like, you know, 25, 30 years old, 35, whatever. And it's like, and they may not even live at home. Like, I didn't have to deal with that when I was 15, never mind 35. And furthering your point, John, yeah, you can create an independence of belief. You can sort of go inward and really discover what you want to do, irrespective of what your parents want you to do. And that's, I think that's a blessing. I mean, how many times, you know, do you see, you know, say a family is, you know, Catholic, say they're, I don't know, Republican, they all are, say, lawyers, right? And then what happens? Their children is what? Oh, they're a lawyer, they're a Republican, they're Catholic. So I would ask that person, did they really want to be a lawyer? Do they really want to be a Republican? Do they really want to be Catholic? Or is it just sort of inherited family values? And there's nothing wrong with being any of those things, nothing whatsoever. But I guess what I'm saying is, when you are separate from your family, you can branch out, you can truly discover what identifies with you, whether that's a career, whether that's political ideology, religion, you know, whether you want to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning or 5 p.m. at night, it doesn't matter. So I think that's a really understated blessing by being separated by your family.
Okay.
We've got another call who's up with us now. It's area code 917-810. Who's calling in, please? Sorry, I didn't catch that. Well, we're here.
Hello, everyone. Thank you.
Maybe they'll call back and have a better connection.
All right. Has anybody got another topic they'd like to discuss? We got a few minutes left. Or Matt, do you have any announcements you'd like to make for us?
Let me think a little bit about something further we can talk about. I'm also going to try to think about some of the topics we put forth this week. But I know one thing we had talked about last week was putting forth a goal. And as I had mentioned earlier in our call today, is that I have gone on Clubhouse. I started that second group. So I actually just launched it. So I'm really excited about the prospect of that growth. I'm hoping to get more people through that project into Vulnerability is Cool. So I really want to just provide a quick update on that. And then I guess I'll defer to Toria to see how she did with her gym promotion.
Well, I did not get to the gym this week, but I had a lot of things going on at home that I was preparing for. But I am going tomorrow at 6 a.m., so I'll definitely be talking to some people and see what we can do. Just got to keep on going. Sometimes life gets in the way of our best laid plans, but never give up. I have been trying to also keep up with posting and then also joining on the clubhouses to really participate in the Vulnerability is Cool stuff and have some really great discussions. That's been really rewarding and nice too.
And also, John, I thought of something that – oh, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, go ahead.
I thought of something. It's not necessarily directly about vulnerability, and I hope that this is not too controversial for us to necessarily even weigh in on or bring up. I'll let you – you can make that determination, John. But one thing that consistently comes up for us are our struggles regarding COVID-19. And one thing that I've been presented a lot lately – our fears regarding the vaccine and what we're dealing with in society. And I just felt, you know, I made a post on my Facebook page today saying, you know what, I am not at all trying to promote people to either get the vaccine or tell people that they shouldn't get the vaccine. But I just want to let everybody know that whatever decision you choose is completely 100% okay. Do not feel pressured by anyone to choose one way or another. And I know that a few people came to me and saying they're feeling really pressured in society to get the inoculation, but they personally don't want to. And I can speak from this personally because actually as we're talking about an empath, empaths are sensitive with everything. And for me, I also find that processing toxins, for example, I have a really difficult time with it. You know, I've had a near-death experience actually from taking a medication, for example. So for me, my body just can't handle it. So I'm very attuned to people's concerns when it comes to vaccines and whatnot. And I just simply want to give a shout-out and say, you know what? If you're having these fears, that is completely valid. And that it's important for you to make the best decision possible for yourself because there sometimes can be potentially deleterious long-term effects. So I do just wanted to give that shout out to anybody.
Well, yes, there can be. And I think it's your own personal decision. And I mean, frankly, if you're not going to get it, just don't talk about it. I mean, somehow I think that's a good thing to do because in our pressurized world, a lot of people say, oh, you get it. Well, just change the subject. I mean, you know, you're the master of your own destiny when it comes to what you talk about. And so I guess That's what one of my friends that I worked for, he said, John, just deflect. If you don't like the topic, deflect. Go get a drink of water. You know, that's what I do. I go get a drink of water, and I come back, and I change the subject. You know, not pretty smart guy, senior vice president of IBM. He knew how to handle things. He would deflect, and somehow that's not such a bad thing to do. You don't have to avoid. You just deflect. Those are two different things, and I learned that completely. So anyway, that's kind of what we've got. And I think we've had a lot of fun tonight. We'll be back. Matt, will you be back next week with us?
Be my pleasure, absolutely.
Tori, you be back with us?
Yes, thank you so much.
Well, good. Raphael, I remembered your name. I hope I got it right. Are you going to be back with us tomorrow, next week? Maybe he's still with us. Are you going to be back with us next week? What?
Excuse me?
Yeah, do you think he's going to be back with us next week?
John, his name is Francisco, not Raphael.
Francisco, okay, thank you. You know, I was halfway right. At least I had a name. Better than not having a name. Okay. Francisco, yeah, are you going to be with us next week?
I will try. It was a very interesting space. Thank you. It's very, very cool to open spaces, and I'm new. Vulnerability also is a new concept for me. I don't think it is a far experience. So it's helping me to live my own experience. And also, even I have a lot of empathy. Sometimes I don't think I am very clear how the people are feeling. So reading people's feelings and how understand them better is very helpful with these spaces. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's great. And look, it's been a lot of fun. I know I got a lot out of it. I'll be trying to do a little bit more work on this little research topic that I'm doing, and we'll see what we can come up with that can help everybody in the group. So next week, next Sunday night, same bat time, bat channel, same bat time, which is going to be Vulnerability Podcast on Facebook, and 10 and 11 p.m. Eastern. So come join us next week. It was a lot of fun. Tori, thanks for being with us. Matt, thanks for being with us. Francisco, thanks for being with us. I got his name right. Yay. I'll have it right next week. So thanks a lot. We'll see you next week on the Vulnerability Podcast. Have a good week.
Thank you so much, John. Really appreciate your time.